Thank the Lord this morning once again for the opportunity to look into the Word of God. And I know I was really struck a few months ago, and I believe I shared it, but it is a privilege that we have to get into God's Word. And sometimes I don't think maybe we're as cognizant of it, but it is a wonderful opportunity. It is a blessing to be able to share from this book, from the Word of God. I'd like us to turn our attention over to the last part of the book of the sixth chapter of Revelation, where we concluded Wednesday night. A question was asked at the end. The sixth seal was opened, and we see that there was much turmoil and trouble on the earth before it came to the conclusion where God said, "It's enough, and the end has come. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" A question that is asked still of us today, who is able to stand? The Scripture teaches that in the last days that there would be a falling away. It teaches that the love of many would wax cold. Because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. We are living in a time where there are many adverse spiritual influences working against God's people in our world. And that the focus, and we will find as we read on in the book of Revelation, the focus of this battle of Armageddon is God's people. Which means we need to be watchful and prayerful, we need to be on our guard. But is it possible to be able to stand at the last day? Is it possible with your personality, and with your weaknesses, and with your background, is it possible for you to be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and be found ready to meet Him in peace? Because I know the enemy would like to come along to different people at different times and says, "You're not going to be able to make it. This battle is so strong, or this temptation is getting so difficult, you're not going to be able to stand." I have news for the devil this morning. And the answer is to the devil this morning is by God's grace and help, we will stand. It's not by our own strength. It's not by our own ability. But when we stand before the throne of God, if the blood of Jesus has been applied, we're going to be able to make it in this life. Regardless of your problems, regardless of the things about your personality that causes you to struggle day in and day out, the blood of Jesus, if it's been applied, will enable you to stand. So who would be able to stand in this last days? Those that have given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. If you allow your affections to go out to the things of this world, you won't stand. But your soul is in your hand this morning. You have the power and the ability to turn your heart to Jesus. You have the power and the ability to love Him with all of your heart. And if you do, the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God will enable you to stand against every trial, against every temptation, against every personality flaw. Because as humans, are not we flawed in some way? In a sense, we all have those struggles, but by God's grace, through what He did, the answer is, we will be able to stand. And so he reads on, the question is asked, because we see a picture in the book of Revelation of a lot of trouble. We see a picture of a world that's going down quickly. We see a world that's struggling in battles and spiritual battles and physical battles and civil turmoil and trouble. Who's going to be able to make it through? Well, I am thankful for this next chapter in the book of Revelation. After these things, after all these things that were troubling, the wrath of God, the turmoil in society, he said, "I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, 'Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.'" I want us to take note this morning that after these things, After seeing truth versus error, after seeing a victorious church and seeing compromise, after seeing those that have lost their lives for the Lord and in the faith, after these things, I saw four angels. Well, the winds and the sea and the earth here, the trees, it was something that is drawn from this earth. This was not something taking place up in heaven. It was drawn from the earth. And again, I am reminded this morning as I had studied these things, I'm reminded of the importance of the message. If we miss all of the symbolism that was intended by the Spirit of the Lord, we can still get the message this morning. The message is that there is going to be some more tribulation in this world. We have read about those that were persecuted and lost their lives. These angels here were intending to do hurt to this earth. Now, every angel we read about is not a godly being. Is that correct? We read on in the book of Revelation where he talks about there being a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought with his angels. Revelation 12:7. The devil has angels as well. And also those that are in a civil position, in exalted civil position, they can do a lot of hurt to the things of this earth. And when they were ready to go out and cause harm, the angel of the Lord said, stay your hand. Just wait till the servants of God have been sealed. The message is this. Where there is trouble and where there is persecution, God is going to seal us and identify us as being God's people. And He will give us what we need to be able to stand in the evil day and maintain our integrity with God. It doesn't matter what happens, if it happens in the spiritual battle that we're in, if it happens politically and civilly, all of the trouble that we are going to face till the end of time, folks, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He's going to enable you with power and with strength to be able to stand. Thank God for that. So when all these winds of the earth affected the whole world, the angel of the Lord came and told him to stop. Just wait. He said, he cried out, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our forehead. It is interesting to remember, to note, the destroying angel, even in Exodus. And God sent that one, didn't He? You see, some of the judgments that are going to happen in this world, some of them are from God, and some of them come in a political sense. But regardless of how you understand this, the message still remains the same. The Lord is going to mark His people. When the destroying angel came, the avenging angel came, in Egypt. And every time he went by a house that was marked with the blood of the Lamb, that avenging angel went to the next house. Do you know that the Lord has marked His people with the blood of Jesus Christ? He has marked them. He's identified them. That avenging angel could not touch those that have the blood of the Lamb applied. If you will also be reminded as we think about what is this marking and what is this sealing that's going on. In Genesis, you will find in the 4th chapter in the 15th verse that God set a mark on Cain's forehead. You remember that? Cain had killed Abel and God put a mark on him. It says this, Genesis 4:15, the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I don't know what mark God put on Cain, but I know He put some kind of a mark on him that people would identify that God has touched this person and were to leave him alone. Well, there's a little bit more history. In the book of Ezekiel, in the 9th chapter, there is going to be vengeance brought on the idolaters. And I will just read from the 4th verse, Ezekiel 9:4. The Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark. So this is not strange language here in Revelation, all right? set a mark upon the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And then in verse 6, he said, slay the old and the young, the children, the women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Understand that there were those that are crying because they're not happy with the abomination. They're not giving in to idolatry. He said, put a mark on them. And actually, the mark that was put on them was the Hebrew, and I won't pronounce it right, it was the Hebrew sign that was kind of like Andrew's cross. And that has become, that's taken meaning today as well. But put a mark on them so you will know they are to be saved. They're to be preserved. You know, the Lord has done that in the past, and that's to begin to get this picture of this angel saying, don't bring destruction until I can mark my servants, until I can seal them. It was also very common in the time that this was written in ancient Rome for the slaves and the servants to be marked so that they could be identified by who their master was. They say in ancient Rome at this time that slaves outnumbered the citizens by 10 to 1. Now, you want to talk about an insurrection? You want to talk about, if there were, most of society is filled with slaves. Every free citizen of Rome, there were an average of 10 slaves. So they would mark the slaves with a hot iron. They would brand them, just like you brand cattle. They would brand them with a mark. Sometimes it was with a mark. Sometimes it was with the name of the master. So you could look on someone and you would identify who they were. Now, later on, we read about those that have the mark of the beast. Those that have the mark of sectism. People were that are identified by their false doctrines. That's what the mark of the beast is. Those that are identified by their false teaching, by the error of the way that they're living. But understand, we can talk about the mark of slaves, and we can talk about the mark of the beast and those that are in error. But folks, this morning, God has marked His children. He knows who His children are, and He has marked them. Think about its common custom as well with pagans. Take, for example, the Hindus. You've seen, been around very many Hindus, and they've got a mark, don't they? It is a common thing for pagans and idolaters to put a mark. So you look and I say, oh, I know what religion you are. You put a little red circle on your forehead, I'm going to know what your religion is. Folks, do you know that God has marked His people this morning? You may start looking at it. Where on the forehead? Whose are you? I want to tell you, God has marked His people. Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their forehead. There's the Father's name written on their forehead. Here in this life, it's not something literal. Remember, this is symbolic. That the Lord can look down, and His name is stamped on us. A few years ago at Monarch, I was so struck. When I started looking around at all these, especially the boys, I was looking at these little boys running around, and I thought, well, I know who they are, because they look just like their dads. It was uncanny. I mean, I look at someone, it was like, I remember you. I knew who their dads when they were my age and little and younger. And I look at these boys and it's like, I know where they came from. Do you know that that ought to be the way it is among God's people? That you get around people, it's like, I don't know your name, but I know whose you are. I know who your Father is because the name of the Father's on your forehead. In other words, the forehead is something that's prominent, right? It's prominent. It's a place that you can look at people's forehead. Whose name is written on there? It's one thing to look and say, looks like a Smith boy. Well, there's a greater marking that the Lord wants to have in your life. It's the way that you conduct yourself. It's the way that you live. It's your attitudes. It's your spirit. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if what? if you have love one to another. Folks, whether it's in a family or in a congregation or a movement where the love of God is not working, I'm going to start questioning some people's salvation. Because where there is love, where there is God, there's going to be love. And it's not because we're of the same personality. It's not because we have a common ancestry. It's not because we left our church movement, left Anderson, Indiana 130 years ago. It's because there's a spirit of love that's working, that transcends and rises above our human differences of personality and background. That's how the Lord knows His people, and He has marked us with His name on the forehead. But it didn't stop there. He went on to say, don't hurt them till I have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. Let's read on. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and them that were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. And he went through the tribes of Israel. And he sealed 12,000 of each tribe. So 12 times 12,000 is 144,000. Remember, this is a book of symbolism. This represents the church of God. It represents God's people. There are those that teach this morning that there are only going to be 144,000 that make it into heaven. And I don't know why they're knocking on my door, because I'm going to minimize their chances. Don't come talk to me if there's only 144. You're statistically more prone to make it if you don't come talk to me. Isn't that right? But that's a false doctrine, because we read on in this passage, and he had a vision of a great multitude. But we're moving ahead a little too fast. There were 144,000 that were sealed. They were marked on their forehead, marked with His name. But folks, there is something else that is very key to God's servants sealed. When He sealed God's servants, how does He seal us? You see, the angel came with a seal. He came with a mark. And He was going to put it on each one of God's children. So how are we sealed? You know, a seal is something in days of old, you know, you take their a signet, like the kings would have a signet ring. They put that hot wax on the scroll and they put that signet down on there. So when someone got that, they could say, oh, I know who that came from. So the angel had this signet and he was going to seal. It's not the specific meaning. The seal is the identifier. But I also think it's very noteworthy this morning that the word seal also means to preserve. This was an identification, but it's not lost on us that there is also some further meaning, that there is something that God will give to us that will preserve or keep us in this dark, sinful, evil world. So how are we sealed? In the words of Christ Himself, He was quoted in Acts 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He was talking to His disciples before He left, but they were to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 8, but you shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, Jesus told His disciples after they were saved, these were believers, He said, don't go away. Don't leave home. Don't go out into the world until you've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Young people, I advise you the same thing. You don't go out there and face this world by yourself, because you will be overcome. You need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. You need a power within you that will enable you when you're tempted. You can say no by God's strength. You can say, I'm not going to give in by the help of God. There is power in the Holy Spirit this morning to enable us to live a consistent, victorious life. Yes, we still have personality struggles, and yes, we still make mistakes, and every true child of God is still going to have to humble himself sometimes and say, I'm sorry. But it's the power of God that will enable you to humble yourself. It's the power of God that will enable you to say, I was wrong. It's the power of God that will enable you, if you make a mistake, to get back up and say, Lord, I know I messed up, but my heart is still bound for heaven, and I'm not going to allow the world to pull me back in. That takes a power that we don't have in our own strength this morning. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, don't go away. Don't go out into the world until you have the Holy Spirit. Folks, I know we taught on this a while back. We had quite a lengthy series on the Holy Spirit. But there's this idea that you get saved and you come to the altar and you pray for forgiveness, and then you go on and on and on and on until at some time you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's the devil that's caused that. We say, well, there's two separate works, and so in our carefulness to try to maintain two separate works, there's a lot of people falling by the wayside, backsliding over and over and over. There's healing to backsliding. You need to be sealed by the Lord. You need to come, and yes, there are two separate works, but as soon as I've given my heart to the Lord and I recognize I need something more, I don't want to go out in the uttermost parts of the earth and face all the temptations that are out there until I come and get sealed by the Spirit of the Lord. Something that will equip me and enable me to live victorious life. The Lord never intended the two works of grace to be these drawn out situations. We need to be as Paul. When he saw Jesus and believed in Jesus, within 3 days he was being prayed for that he would receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't the ones at Samaria, when they heard of that, when they received Christ as their Savior, the apostles heard about it, and immediately they sent some of the brethren, go tell them about the Holy Spirit. They didn't wait 3 years. They didn't wait 10 years. As soon as they got saved and received Christ, the message that was sent to them is, go tell them about the Holy Ghost. Folks, it is vital. If you want to be able to stand this morning, you need to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not pulling, again, I've used this expression, I'm not pulling these things out of a hat. Let me read to you from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. How are we sealed? How are we identified? How are we kept? How are we preserved? Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Seal on a document gives validity to it. Folks, we are desperately in need of the Holy Spirit to keep us in this evil time. I believe it is one of the greatest needs of the church. There are a lot of problems that would be taken care of if people would get a good infilling, sealing, working power of the Holy Ghost in their life. And I'm so thankful that the altars are always open, but I want to say the Holy Spirit will take care of a lot of the problems that people are struggling with year after year after year, and they don't have victory, and they come to camp meeting, and they do it all over. I say keep coming, don't stop coming, but no, there is something that the Lord wants to do in your life that you can keep saved. Yes, you're going to make some mistakes, but my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. And there's a power within me given by the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that just daily, even when I'm struggling, you know, I've also think about this. To those that have the Holy Spirit, think what you would be like if you didn't have the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered, have you ever felt like you fell a little bit short? Anybody besides me ever wish, I should have handled it different. Lord, I should have had a little bit more grace there. What would have been like if you wouldn't have had the Holy Spirit? It wouldn't have just been a little bit short. It would have been a lot short. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His empowerment and we need His help. He went on to say, Romans 8 verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with what? With our spirit that we are what? The children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? Because the Spirit of God is witnessing to me. He's marked me. He sealed me. He put His mark on me. He gave me His Spirit. And that Spirit inside of me witnesses that you're my child. And when you face difficulty, and when you face trouble, and you face problems, and you face temptation, and the world is pulling hard, and people around about you are falling away, and your loved ones aren't staying faithful to God, and it seems like this one's compromising, and it begins to look hopeless. Folks, you can stand this morning. You can stand, and you can be faithful. There may not be very many, but we have an answer to the question, who shall be able to stand in the day of wrath? Those that have been sealed. God's servants sealed by His Spirit. Now He, 2 Corinthians 1:21, now He which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us, is God who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. See, there's multiple scriptures. There's some doctrines we teach. There's just a couple scriptures that deal with it. There's a whole lot more scriptures that talk about the sealing of the Spirit than some other things that people are pretty defensive about, aren't there? The Spirit of God will seal you, identifying you as God's people. And it's not just something that's in name only. Folks, when you have been sealed, there is a power that is working daily and consistently in your life as you continue to yield and submit to that power. Gave us the earnest of the Spirit. You know what earnest money is? You intend to buy something, you put down earnest money. Maybe it's going to cost $10,000, and they say, you need to put down $500 so I won't sell it to someone else. That's earnest money. Well, do you know the Spirit of the Lord in our life is just earnest money? It's something, it's the earnest of the Spirit foretelling something better to come. We look at the blessings and the victory of the Holy Spirit, folks. It's pointing the way to a better day when we are with God Himself up in heaven. I'm going to quote F.G. Smith about the winds of heaven. The winds of heaven were restrained until the work of full salvation could be firmly established in the earth. When Christ appeared, the Roman Empire was in a state of comparative quiet, and the immense host of foreign invaders did not appear until the firm establishment of Christianity being held back by the power of God until His work should be accomplished. Folks, it was true then and it's true now. If you have desire to make heaven your home, the Lord is not going to cause you to go through any trial that is too great for you. He's not going to put something in your path that is too great for you to bear, but He's holding back the tide until you have been sealed by the Spirit and protected that you can go through the trial and keep your victory. There are temptations and problems and situations that I have faced as I've gotten older. I don't know what it would have done to me if it would have happened 20 years ago, but the Lord knew it wasn't time. That's true for all of us. He knew it wasn't time, but I want you to get established and I want you to be strengthened that now when the trials and the battles come and you come out and maybe you've got some scars and you bled a little bit, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, I can look back and I say, I made it. I made it. I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm still loving the Lord and my heart's still fixed in Him. How did you do that? Because I was sealed by the Spirit. Isn't that your testimony this morning? It ought to give us courage for the battles that you're going to face tomorrow. You can make it. And when people come back next year, you can say, I'm still here. I'm still here, thank God. Why? Because the Lord gave me His Spirit and He enabled me to do what I could not do in my own strength. Because He put His mark on my life. Thank God to be sealed. Isn't it wonderful to be sealed? When we go to town, let's not be ashamed for people to come and say, you're different. I know where you came from. Thank God. Preached a message one time at a meeting. Someone came up to me afterward and said, you still believe that? Yes, I still believe that. Why? Because it's true and it's right. Yes, I'm still preaching the same thing because the Word of God hasn't changed and you're going somewhere else and you're living a different way. But thank God, I'm still preaching the same gospel. And if I ever stop preaching this gospel, it's time for y'all to tell me to shut things down because this is what's going to give us life. But it's the Spirit of God on a daily basis that will enable you personally to make it through the battles of life. And so we see this picture of 144,000 sealed. It was symbolic of God's church. Galatians 3:29, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are of Abraham's seed. I'm not a Jew, but spiritually I am. I'm a spiritual Jew. And that was the picture we have of all of God's servants sealed by His Spirit. And so in summary this morning, this is the message. Wars have come and they will come again. Pestilence, persecutions, revolutions, political upheaval, false doctrine, temptations, spirits of the world, but there is a sealing of the Spirit that will keep us in the face of all of those problems. Many will depart from the faith, saints, but by God's grace and through His Spirit, we can make it. Isn't that a wonderful passage? We've seen all of these problems. That's kind of discouraging. And so the Lord showed John something else. Don't be discouraged. I'm holding back the tide of evil until I can equip you to stay faithful to God. And that still applies to us today, folks. Many will depart from the faith, but we can make it. The question is, have we been identified with God? Have you been marked? Have you been sealed? Told the children that we were talking in worship the other night, it's kind of sad when someone says, well, are they saved? And it's like, well, I think so. It's because there's confusion. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who will prepare themselves to battle? Are they saved or not? Their life is not showing a clear signal that they're being identified with God. Folks, let's not be ashamed, but let's embrace the Lord and all that He has for us. And the blessing of it is that God will protect and defend His own. And we need not fear those that are able to kill the body this morning, but those that are able to kill the soul. So be on your guard, be watchful, but this morning be of good courage, because we can be sealed with the Spirit of God so we can look the devil in the eye. And I'm not inviting the devil to come, but when he does, we can look him in the eye and say, by God's grace and His power, I'm not going to yield. And folks, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So let's go out, fight the good fight of faith, and be of good courage this morning, because we have a power and a sealing of the Spirit that will keep us. Amen.